You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world.
Aries, don't come for me when I say your time is up. It's time for you to sit down because Taurus, I know you're back there sitting comfortably in the back seat, cozy, eating your snacks, judging everybody, but it's your turn to come on stage. Oh my gosh, we've got some moving and shaking in the cosmos going on this weekend. Not only is the sun moving into Taurus, stay tuned for that episode on Friday, but Jupiter, planet of abundance, our philosophies, our beliefs, expansion, and Uranus or Uranus, planet of innovation, change, transformation. These two are meeting in the sky for one of the most potent, if not the most potent transit of the entire 2024 year. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Lightworkers Lounge. I'm your host and astrologer, Stephanie Powers. Before we dive into this, let me just circle back to my notebook because I took a lot of notes on this. I have been looking at an ephemeris, looking back on the dates we last had a Jupiter and Uranus conjunction. I'm going to give you guys all these key dates to pause and go reflect on your own life to see just how powerful this is. And I got to tell you, in my 5 years studying astrology now, I've never been so shaken up in a good way, for what's about to come. And now these are all things that I have felt, but of course we humans love to be in control and see the whole staircase. We want to read the last page of our book to see how we die, how it all ends. But I was reading my own and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm nervous. It was like that feeling where, you know, you have to get on stage and give a public presentation, whether it was in school or whether it's something you do for a living. You know, you always get those little bit of butterflies. You're like, I've done this before, meaning me personally, I've gone through change before. I've gone through massive transformation, a native Scorpio moon, Scorpio Venus, eighth house stellium. Of course, I am all too familiar with change, but yeah, my Taurus rising is at 20 degrees and this big conjunction is at 21 degrees. So it's weird. I'm usually talking to you guys, other people with big transits. And in my readings, I see people with this and I'm like, wait, no shit. It's my turn now. I got my Jupiter at 29 degrees Taurus too. Guys, what's going to happen? We'll go into that. But welcome to another episode of Lightworkers Lounge. Please remember, wherever you're watching this, reading this, listening to this from, to leave a review because it's working. It's working and I'm so proud of us, guys. It's happening. A lot of people have started to tune into the show. A lot of people are investing in birth chart readings. And when I ask, how'd you find us? They're saying, I saw you on the recommended astrology podcast list. That is because of you leaving a simple review on the show, whether it's good or bad. Hey, be honest with yourself. It's all good. But the fact that we're getting traction and leaving reviews means Lightworkers Lounge is getting put on the map. So if you appreciate the way I interpret astrology, it's a very practical approach, yet spiritual. Feet on the ground, head in the stars, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world. Please leave a review wherever you're listening to it from. Friendly reminder, we have new pre-recorded birth chart readings. You guys are really enjoying those. So if you want a pre-recorded call, or if you want to meet with me one-on-one, which something tells me, especially my fixed signs, my Taurians, my Scorpios, Aquarians, and Leos, after listening to this, you guys may be running over to lightworkers-lounge.com and book a private reading with me where we will go into what area of life, meaning what house in your birth chart is ruled by Taurus, to see where we are beginning a brand new 14-year chapter, era of life. So leave a review, head to lightworkers-lounge.com to book a private reading with me. And lastly, please go subscribe to our every Monday newsletter called What's New and Good. Of course, I weave astrology into it, but that's more of me going back to Lightworkers Lounge roots. It's like an online diary. And I unintentionally made it like a dialogue, an open dialogue. I wake up every Monday morning to just a string of emails from you guys with your thoughts and your perceptions on what I'm currently going through and sharing in those emails. And it's been amazing. I've got to create a Substack. I've got to write that down. Where's my pen? For those of you who don't know what a Substack is, it's essentially that. It's where writers go to create pieces of work and write things, and then you can comment on it and interact with it. And I follow a few. I've been told quite a few times to join that and create one of my own. So look at this. First house being activated with this conjunction. So please go subscribe to the newsletter. You'll get 4 emails a month, and that is it. Every Monday morning, I leave questions based off of the game We're Not Really Strangers. Shout out to them. At the bottom of the emails for you to respond to, and of course, respond to the content. But that's where you can reach us. So leave a review, share on the show, sign up for a private birth chart reading, whether it's pre-recorded and I send it to you later, or you meet one-on-one with me during the week, lightworkers-lounge.com. Go play. All right. Let me get comfortable here in this squishy motorhome chair. Guys, oh my gosh. I've been over here just moping in my own pool, telling JL, my mom, like, I don't know. I love astrology. Like, this is my favorite thing in the world. I light up reading charts, but I just feel like something's changing. Like, I'm having a new beginning. Like, the way I've been doing things can't be how I do them anymore. And then I was like, okay, well, I gotta go record a podcast. Holy shit, that's right. It's the great Jupiter and Uranus conjunction happening this Saturday. I also think, aside from my own self-pity, I was just processing the time. I wonder if this is just aging, but now I'm starting to think that the Earth is quite literally speeding up because, guys, to me, the eclipse happened yesterday, and now we're recording about Taurus season. What is going on? How is May? I'm looking at the calendar right now. May, practically next week. How is Taylor Swift releasing the Tortured Poets Department in 2 days? What? She just announced it. To me, it's still 2016. I'm just so baffled with how fast time is moving. And this conjunction may be why. So Jupiter and Uranus are meeting at 21 degrees Taurus, April 20th and April 21st, 2024, this weekend. This, I might even title this podcast episode this. This is something that you are going to remember for a very long time. Now, for those of you with placements between, I don't know, 18 to 25 degrees, and Taurus especially, or Scorpio, Leo, Aquarius, you may see these things quite literally this weekend or in the coming weeks. Now, everybody else, this will be a very structured, just like the eclipse. Everyone thinks on the day of the eclipse, something happens, but it doesn't. It usually takes about 6 months to see the results from it. This is a similar effect. Jupiter and Uranus are outer planets. Jupiter's like right in the middle of being a personal inner and an outer. He's right out there. But Uranus is an outer planet, meaning he's so far out in the solar system that, gosh, we didn't even discover him until recently, right? And so it is a very rare transit for two outer planets who move so slow. I mean, Pluto, he takes, what is it, 300-something years to go around the Earth, go around the zodiac wheel? Same with Uranus. He spends about 8 years in each sign. So 8 times 12, boom, boom, boom. That's how long he takes to go around the wheel. So when two outer planets meet up, do the math. It's extremely rare. The inner planets like Venus and Mars, they meet up every year. Once a year, there's a Venus-Mars conjunction, a Mercury-Venus conjunction, because they move fast, relatively speaking. 3 weeks, 4 weeks in each sign, you'll always experience it. Their effect is there, but it's minimal compared to the big players, the outer planets, the big daddies. So this is why we astrologers are just shouting from the rooftops, like, guys, here it comes, it's happening. Jupiter. Expansion, beliefs, travel, abundance. This is Sagittarius planet. Uranus, change, newness, different, unconventional, and uncomfortable at first sometimes. Liberation. This is the planet that rules Aquarius. So we have these two meeting in the sky in the earth sign Taurus. You know, the last time that Jupiter and Uranus were conjunct in Taurus was 1941. Yes, when World War II began over what? Resources. Mine. Taurus level themes. And ever since World War II, did the collectively speaking, all of us here on Earth and the world, did we not learn a lot about resources? I'm thinking Great Depression. I think those are all Taurian themes. Right now, if we zoom out here, I'm talking individually, but now zoom out and think of it collectively. We astrologers are, yes, also looking at the world as a whole with this big transit, thinking, okay, what's going to happen with our farming system? What's going to happen with our food system? Our banking system? These are all Taurus type themes. What is our relationship to materialistic items? I mean, we all know that, my God, especially here in America, the level of waste is migraine inducing. So this big transit, you may see over the coming year or 14 years, there's got to be a huge shift. We are depleting the earth. So it's not just a social cause, like we need to change our mindsets. We simply will not have enough resources to continue our current obsession with materialism. It's going to be very interesting to see. And I'll give you these key dates in a little bit, but if you think about it, since 2018, what has become so popular? Growing your own food, going back to your roots. You see so many people since that year either doing van life, moving to the country, starting a farm. We're looking at people who were once big executives in major cities now moving into farmland and becoming farmers and growing food. This is Uranus and Taurus's effect. So think back for you individually, think back to what happened in 2010 and 2011 that you're still not over, that has been affecting you up until now. Perhaps it's something you regret. Perhaps it's something that was very shocking that came about during those 2 years that you were like, whoa, that is a story I still tell today. The reason why I picked those 2 years, 2010 and 2011, is because that was the last time that Jupiter and Uranus held hands in the sky, conjunct, sitting right on top of each other. And that was in two signs. It was in Aries and in Pisces. They've switched off because of retrogrades. So look to the areas of life that are ruled by Aries and Pisces in your birth chart and think back to those years of what was going on. But irregardless of the exact houses they rule, that's the last time we experienced this Jupiter and Uranian sudden shocking shakeup energy. So think back to things you regret, things that were traumatizing, things that were shocking, or major abundance, major great things that could have happened back then. It's officially done. Whatever happened in those 2 years kicked off a 14-year cycle. Reason being, because Jupiter and Uranus only conjunct every 14 years. And so in the parts of your chart ruled by Aries and Pisces back in those 2 years, you had this great conjunction. And it kicked off a massive 14-year cycle of healing in that specific area of life. Well, now, as of this weekend, it's officially done. You can let it go. And you're not going to wake up on Saturday, April 20th and go, huh, I feel better. This is great. And go about your day. It could be gradual. It could be sudden. Again, for the Taurus and Scorpios and fixed signs especially, it could be as sudden as waking up to something. But for most of us, it's just going to gradually decline. It's like grief, right? Grief can be just all-consuming, and then we just learn to live with it. And so it's always still there, but we learn and grow to just let it go, right? And if something amazing happened in those 2 years, it may have lost its effect. You may have remembered it and cherished it, and now it's kind of losing its shine because something new and shiny and amazing is ready to come in. For most of us, This is the only time that we'll experience this transit of Jupiter and Uranus conjunct in the sign of Taurus in our lifetime. So if Taurus rules your first house, fourth house, seventh house, or 10th house, I'm looking at you, my Aquarians, Leos, Scorpios, Taurus. You are going to feel this the most. And I'm going to wrap up this episode with a little miniature horoscopes for the rising signs. So prepare for that. Now, look at these key dates that I'm about to give you. Press pause if you need to really reflect on these key dates to figure out what's changing, what is shifting, where we may need to let go and move forward, and figure out what is beckoning you to change, okay? So the key dates are early 2018. March, April, May 2018. What was going on in your life then? The reason why I ask is because that is when Uranus moved into Taurus. This is when Uranus left Aries behind and moved into Taurus. Now think back to May 2023, just last year, last May. This is when Jupiter moved into Taurus. And so maybe the month of May, a little bit bleeding into June, something happened. What was going on around that time? If you can connect the dots to any similar themes between early 2018 to May, my neighbor thought I was waving to her because I was talking with my hands. Hi! To May 2023, this is the theme that is coming up. If you've been holding on to something you know is over, consider this conjunction the final push. Under this energy, things may feel off. You may feel weird. It may be a good, right? A lot of this is kind of pessimistic, and I want to keep it light and optimistic too, because this could be an absolutely amazing time. A lot of people, I think, no matter where Taurus is in your birth chart, they're going to be excited yet grieving in a sense of, like, I'll just use myself for an example to drive this point home. I want to create Lightworkers Lounge, the physical space, right? And I'm pretty sure it's going to be made, just to start off with, while we grow, into the form of an astrology boutique. Like, don't steal my idea, okay? An astrology boutique. But it's, and then I eventually want to branch out into having an entire ranch where it's an astrology ranch. JL and I have already come up with a name. We have looked at land. We know what the big banner over the ranch is going to be called. It's called Twin Moon Ranch, because so many people in our family combined have same moon signs. It's amazing, including JL and I. So an Airbnb ranch, like, there's so many things I want to do, but with that is going to come the death of Instagram. I won't have time for it. It'll die. I won't be able to do private one-on-one readings. These are my bread and butter, and I love, love, love them. You guys save me more than you know. It's amazing to show up and have these connections with you. And so I'm sad about that, but I'm so excited for what will come from it. Grieving the past of living on the road and Lightworkers Lounge growing so massively, just going viral, but also really excited and taking a deep breath of fresh air that things are going to be a slow growth, a stable growth, so that there's longevity and stability in it. And it'll be more in person, rather, it'll be more 100 people in person rather than 100,000 people on the internet. There's this weird pause and reflection, right? I liken it to people becoming parents, right? If you want to become a parent, you're so excited when you're pregnant and you're about to give birth and expand your family, yet you're probably also grieving the loss of self, because once that baby is born, your individual self is dead. It's gone. It'll never come back. No matter what happens during the pregnancy or during that child's life, like, you will forever be that, right? Or graduating high school, graduating college. When we do those things, we're so excited for what's to come, but we're also like, holy shit, my school years are over. They're done. And then you feel these things when you turn 30. You feel these things when you turn 40, 50, 60, 70. It's like, wait, I'm turning 40. My 30s are gone. I'll never be in my 30s again. I'm turning 50. My 40s are gone. I liken this Jupiter conjunct Uranus transit to that. There's excitement for what's to come, but there's grief and feeling weird about what's being left behind. So things may feel off. You may feel weird. How you saw your life going may drastically change. A lot of people may be struggling with, oh, wait, I created my identity around this career. I created my identity around being a parent. I had, you know, this is me. I'm Stephanie Powers, who dreams of having a house in the Keys and ain't never changing. All of a sudden now I want to live in Texas? What the f- There's like this feeling of, no, but wait, this is kind of nice. If I just surrender to, wait, my heart actually doesn't mind this. Instead of wrapping my identity up and, no, it's the Keys. Screw this Texas place. Things can go smoother. So what no longer resonates with you? Go ahead and answer this for yourself, but the cosmos are going to answer it for you when this great conjunction comes around. Taurus is a sign that knows what it wants. That's why they get a rep for being stubborn. But if you, this is why I love astrology, because it really just limits conflict and improves and increases acceptance. I have a Taurus brother, okay? He thinks what I do for a living is rubbing a crystal ball and saying, call 1-800-LIGHTWORKER to get a reading. And at first, it triggered the hell out of me. I was like, no, this is a science. This is an art. This is a psychological tool to make life easier. If you would just accept it because you're an Aquarius rising, it could improve your life. But then you grow. And I'm like, you know what? No, I appreciate that he only trusts things he can measure and see. And I appreciate Taurian qualities because I'm usually so soft and like, yeah, whatever you want. Oh God, I could do this. I could do that. Taurus are like, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm buying. This is what I believe. I appreciate that energy in someone. So yeah, Taurus is stubborn, but would you say it's stubborn or would you just say it is somebody who knows what they want? Now, Taurus rules resources like money, material items, but a lot of people don't realize that Taurus rules self-worth. A lot of people with planets in Taurus or second house energy, stelliums in the second house, these people are really here to learn self-worth. And normally, Taurus and second house placements, these are my shopaholics, my Amazon go-getters. These are my people who like to buy things like fancy cars, nice clothes as a status symbol. Whether they realize it or not, they're like, well, look at me. I have high self-worth because I drive this car. Look at me. My self-worth is tanking. So maybe if I buy things, ooh, the excitement of a box arriving at my door makes my self-worth increase, right? A lot of Taurus and second house placements have so many things in their house that they want, not need. And I always caution them, ask yourself, do I want this? Do I need it? Have I worn this in the last year? The answer is no, it's gotta go. Yes, I've got Jupiter in my rising in Taurus, mastering this art every day. So with that, right, if Jupiter is in Taurus, we are all learning about our resources, money, material, and our self-worth, our connection to them. A lot of people with Taurus placements, especially Venus in Taurus or Venus in the second house, they stay in relationships or they stay in jobs just for the financial security. Right? They stay because, well, I'm splitting bills with a partner and that's so much easier. Well, this job, it's draining the life force out of me, but at least I make a pretty good payment every other week when I get paid. I get a lot of money, so I'll stay. So under this Jupiter conjunct Uranus transit, do you believe you can do it? Will you let the fear of resources, of money, get in your way of this growth? Uranus is here to give you innovative powers, right? So Jupiter and Taurus, I can't do it. I'm too scared of money. I'll never make it out of this debt. I can't go because I can't afford to live on my own. Those are very rational fears. But when Uranus enters that chat, it says, yeah, but you have innovative powers. You just need to make the decision and go. Guys, here's my entrepreneur hat coming on as someone who left a comfortable 9-to-5 and created a career of her own. Nobody knows how to do anything. We just start, either by choice or by force. Mine, personally, was by force. I got a divorce. I just couldn't stand it anymore. I was torturing myself, him. He couldn't stand it anymore. I got a divorce. And all of a sudden, after my entire life, either living with a college roommate, living at home still, or living with a husband, the first time in my life at 29 years old, yes, on the day of my Saturn return, my Saturn in Capricorn, I had to figure out how to financially support myself. And not only financially, but resources. Like I had nobody to text, hey, can you run to the grocery store for this? I had nobody to say, hey, can you provide me with these resources, this help? Holy cow, I didn't know what I was doing. But what I did have was a feeling. What I did have is, hey, I've been through things before. I'm a really resourceful gal, and I will figure it out. Unfortunately for me, it's game time decisions. I am that person that's like, I'll figure it out at the last 5 seconds of the game. That's just when I perform the best. And I did. Whenever people ask me, how did you get to a point where you're a full-time astrologer by yourself? How did you create your website, your scheduling system, everything by myself? You just do. You just do. And it's not easy. It's not easy at all. You're going to have to spend so much time watching YouTube videos, being frustrated. But there's help. There's so much help. I use Squarespace as a platform and I absolutely love them. Shout out to anyone who works with Squarespace. Because if I don't know how to change something or switch something, they're always right there. One call away, they share their screen and walk me through how to do it. And I've learned so much from the process, just as an example. But guys, nobody knows how to do anything. You just start. Of course, everyone's so nuanced. I do understand this, but when I quit my 9-to-5, I got so nervous because I was go to school, get a 4.0, go to a job, be respectful to your boss, perform the best, miss little goody two shoes over here. Virgo self note. When I quit, I broke out in like a strawberry rash of hives on my chest, up my neck, all the way to surrounding my ears because I realized it's sink or swim. Like I literally just cut my lifeline of resources off. It is gone. I snipped it with scissors and I'm watching it snake to the bottom of a well and it's forever disappearing. And now that I've watched it go and I can't see it anymore, I have to turn around and walk down this road with no food or water, but I gotta put up all of my senses and see the world through a different lens that I've never seen before and find food and water, meaning find a new income source. And guys, it's just, the story is incredible and amazing. Spark Notes version is, I was like, okay, put yourself around the people you want to resonate with. I was a holistic health coach at the time. And so it was so weird. I remember that very next Monday when I didn't have to clock in and go to a team meeting and go over numbers, all the 9-to-5 things. And I woke up early, right on time, just so, my body was so used to get up, go to desk, lock in, that I was like, what do I do? What do I do with my hands? So I went to the beach at sunrise and I remember I brought my agenda, I brought my notes. I was like, going to make a list of critical tasks on what to do, how to find clients. And I just watched old retired people walking the beach, collecting shells, just enjoying their time. And I remember getting that sinking feeling and perhaps even got another rash creep up my chest again because I was like, fuck, I'm the youngest one out here. Everyone my age is behind me, not facing the ocean with me. They're behind me in Charleston, where I lived at the time, at their desk jobs, like real adults. What have I done? I haven't earned the right to be sitting on the beach on Monday morning at a sunrise. These retired people have. What have I done? I just took a deep breath and I wrote down this quote on my agenda. Don't dig up in fear what you planted in faith. Don't dig up in fear what you planted in faith. And that was all I wrote that day. And then sometime the following, that same week, I ended up going to a little yoga festival because I was like, holistic health people will be there. I met a really cool girl. She just opened a holistic health supplement shop, said that she was looking to hire a few girls to come work there. And I was like, I know it's only $10 an hour and I have a bachelor's degree and I just came from a pretty good salary, but I'll do it. I'll do it because I want to network. And from that job, I got all of my clients. And I was just fine. And that was the beginning of working for myself. And so networking, putting yourself where your clients are, where you want to be, and don't dig up in fear what you planted in faith. This is the big energy of the Jupiter and Uranus transit. Something needs to break free. Now, shortly after this, we have a big full moon in Scorpio, and it's squaring Pluto. I'll have a whole other podcast episode on that next Monday. The full moon is on Tuesday, April 23rd, and it's in Scorpio. So you guys know how we do it around here. We use the garden bed analogy just briefly, and again, we'll go into it more in depth next week, but think back to November 13th, 2023. That was when we had the new moon in Scorpio. This is when you planted seeds in the garden bed of life that is ruled by Scorpio in your birth chart. And this full moon is going to be a culmination, right? It's going to be how well did you perform in that area of life? Did you not do so well and now some shadowy stuff is coming out? Or did you knock it out of the park and you're being rewarded in that area of life, boosting this Jupiter and Uranus conjunction? Or Scorpio being the sign of our shadows, our deepest traumas and fears, this conjunction could have your eyes wide open to, yes, that's the thing. That's where I want to go. This is amazing. But then comes some fears, right? With, I think the note I wrote was, with our grandest goals come out our grandest shadows, right? My grandest goal with Light Workers Lounge was to just reach as many people as I could. And it was amazing. And I did hundreds of thousands of people. But then I started to get bullied on the internet, as anybody does with a following, just nasty things. And that was such a core wound of mine. And wow. Right? But it was worth it. And I healed it and I got really confident with it. So this could be what comes up under this Scorpio full moon squaring Pluto. It's saying, hey, transformation is in the sky. In order to get what you've never had, you must dramatically alter your mind, body, and spirit and do what you've never done. Now, some people with Scorpio placements say, fuck yeah, let's do this. I love that idea. Other people might say, oh no, I'm comfortable. I don't want to change. Change is just a sting. That's all it is. I liken change to, I'm that freaking weirdo who likes anesthesia. Obviously, I'm nervous going into a surgery or going to sleep. Just because it's medical, it's not fun. But, oh, when I just had a surgery in September 22, 2022. I remember telling my doctor, I love her. She was a Gemini. Like, I am so pumped for this nap. She was like, what the heck? But when they were putting my IV in, they like blocked my vein. They hit the wrong vein and it spidered right on my wrist. And oh, I fainted. It was so crazy. But that was the fear of change. Like, whoa, my body is being changed. There's things poking and prodding me. But then I got to relax and take a really good nap. Okay, maybe that wasn't such a good analogy. Let's get into the horoscopes. Taurus, we're going to start with you because you are the sign of the weekend or the month since it's your season now. And remember, guys, these are horoscopes for your rising sign. If you want to listen for your sun sign, that's okay, but you may have to really stretch the definition to fit your life. If you find your rising sign, you will definitely be like, oh, yes, sir. That is definitely what's going on in my life. So very important to have your birth time down to the minute to know your rising sign for horoscope and forecasting purposes. Taurus risings. This big conjunction is happening in your first house. Oh my gosh, the first of the four angular houses, new beginnings. This is the house of self. This is the house of your body. This is the house of how the world sees you. You are going to be unrecognizable over the course of 2024, but ultimately over the next 14 years, who you are. You're going to look back at the early 2020s and go, I can't believe that used to be me. right? This is your time to step into your power. Now, Taurus risings, do not be afraid of people exiting your life. Open your heart. Don't be so stubborn. Don't be so afraid of change, of the discomfort that comes with it, because you could find yourself under this conjunction saying one word more than ever. Finally. Oh, I love this for you guys. This is body image, how people see you. Again, all of that's going to change, but this is the house of self. And so if you have felt like over the past 14 years, you have been living a life that is untrue to you, living life under other people, being frustrated with finances and resources, holding you back from being who you really want to be, that's all going to dissolve under this transit. Everybody give Taurus risings a round of applause and let's move to Gemini. My Gemini risings, this conjunction is happening in your 12th house of personal awakenings, your mental health, secrets, and healing on a subconscious level. This will be a more internal transit and manifestation for you. When this conjunction happens in your 12th house, you may have a secret about yourself revealed more sooner than you're ready for it to be. Right? And if that happens, if cat's out of the bag, if you get caught doing something, if something from your past comes up to haunt you, I'm sorry, but it's for the best. It is like, okay, that is a side of myself that I've really wanted to liberate and just say, fuck it, this is me. Yep, that's who I am. I'm not proud of it. It happened, whatever, it's over. Now that we all know, can we please move forward? That's the best feeling in the world. It's also the house of your mental health. And so you are beginning a brand new 14-year chapter in how you view your mental health and taking care of it. I love this for you. Cancer, my Cancer risings. Oh, I love this house that's hitting off for you. It's hitting off the 11th house of community, friendships, networking, and your hopes and dreams. Cancer risings, if there has been something that you have dreamt of for the last 14 years. And right about now, for the past month, you may have been feeling like, okay, I have crossed my fingers, found the four-leaf clover, wished on every shooting star. It's not happening. I'm giving up on it. It just might happen now. Oh, Cancer Rising, this hits off your 11th house of networks and community. This is your time to ask for help. This is your time to reach out to the Squarespace people and invite people in to help you. This is your time to open your mind and recognize that diversity and friendships will be your greatest strength. You can only go so far by yourself, Cancer Rising, but the more people you have on your side, the farther you can go. Leo, hitting off one of your angular houses, your 10th house of career, your direction in life. I love this conjunction happening in your 10th house, Leo rising, because you want to be famous. You want to be well known and just valued and seen and appreciated like the lion you are. With this conjunction in your 10th house, you may finally get the recognition that you felt like you haven't received over the last 14 years. I love this for you. This can also manifest as a sudden change in career. Leo risings, if you have been forcing yourself to go down a career path because you thought you liked it, and you probably genuinely really used to love it and think this is amazing, my heart is wrapped up in it. If your heart is no longer wrapped up in it, stop holding on. Let it go. Don't hold on to it any longer, because there's more than likely something totally different that you can't even dream up right now, or maybe you can. That's going to make you famous in your own definition of it. Now, the 10th house is also your relationship to masculinity, your own masculinity, and also men around you. So we could see sudden events surrounding dad, grandfather, perhaps a brother, but a male partner, a romantic partner, a friend in your life. What is your relationship to them like? Have you been afraid of men for the past 14 years? Have you been afraid of your own masculine side over the past 14 years? Now is your time to get more comfortable with it. My Virgos, you guys know I'm biased towards you guys. I love the sign Virgo. Virgos, Virgo risings, This conjunction is hitting off your ninth house of media, publishing, international affairs, immigration issues, higher education, learning from experiences, and taking it to the classroom. I love this. I love all these conjunctions, clearly, in every single house. But the conjunction in the ninth house is going to be fun, Virgo. This is the house of Jupiter. And so you could see more abundance than the average person, my Virgo risings. Publishing, media. If you've been thinking of taking an international trip, now is your time. A lot of Virgo risings may have been hesitant because of money, Taurus, to go overseas or to book their dream international trip. Well, you're beginning a brand new 14-year chapter of changing your belief systems and going international. I love this for you, Virgos. Libras, my Libra risings. The Uranus and Taurus conjunction is heading off your eighth house. This is the house of Scorpio. This is the house of your partner's money, investments, inheritance, healing trust issues, and healing trauma. Libra risings, you guys are so sweet, ruled by Venus. You truly crave balance, justice, fairness, calm, conflict-free zone. But I imagine over the last 14 years, but especially since 2018, you guys have lost trust for people. You have unfortunately been exposed to the dark side of human behavior, and that is oh so heartbreaking for your sweet Venusian heart. But now you get to say, those shadows will not prevent me from falling in love again. Those shadows will not cause me to constantly project my trust issues onto other people. I'm done. It's retired. That era is over. I'm letting it go, and I'm completely reframing how I view shadow sides. And Libras, you don't like to look at the shadow side of yourself, but ask yourself that question. What's it like, really? What's it really like being on the other side of me? If every relationship is a 50-50 transaction, what has my role been? When you figure this out and you own it and swallow it and assimilate it, you could find yourself finding the love and the intimacy that you always knew would be yours. Scorpio, this Uranus and Jupiter conjunction is happening in one of your angular houses, and it's the house you probably tried to control and obsess over the most. Scorpio risings, this conjunction is happening in your seventh house of marriage, love, commitment, and partnership. When this conjunction happens here, it is go big or go home, meaning there could be a proposal, there could be a wedding, a final commitment to the person you'll be with for the rest of your life, or a final blow, a breakup. We're done. There's no going back. That analogy of severing the cord and watching it spiral down the black hole of a well and to never be returned again could be here. There could be miracles in love, or there could be losses. When this happens, though, Scorpio, not to scare you with this, because I know intimacy and lifelong bondage is your bread and butter in life. Letting people and things go is your greatest pain. So I don't want you to listen to this and go, gosh darn it. If someone leaves your life right now from this conjunction, it is more than likely that someone new will be replaced. And I'll leave it at that, Scorpio. Sagittarius rising. This conjunction is hitting off your sixth house, the house you go bleh. It's the house of health. It's the house of work, daily routine, and pets. Pets live in this house. Sagittarius, you could find yourself feeling like you are finally working towards something. Like you are, like Sagittarius, you're aimlessly wandering around, just getting a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Oh, that was so fun. Let's go try that. Never do you usually feel like you're working towards a tangible goal. Well, with this conjunction, you may finally find something that you feel like you're working towards. Being the house of health and pets, I encourage you, if any health issues come up, please immediately go get it checked out. Nothing too serious is going to happen in this house. This is just, hey, if you've had long-term back pain, go to the chiropractor and fix it, Sag. If you have pets, right? If you're thinking of adopting a pet, rescuing a pet, this could be a beautiful time. Unfortunately, with new comes loss. We could see the loss of pets under this conjunction. And again, please don't take that and put your dog or cat in a bubble. So many other things that are layered to indicate things like that. But it is the house of pets. So yes, that health thing applies to your fur baby as well. If there's something you're like, okay, maybe I'll just take him for a checkup. Yes, this would be a wonderful time to do so. And remember, this is a slow burn, kind of like Pluto's transit. It's a 14-year cycle with health and pets. So during this, you might get the best health of your life, or you might welcome a new pet over the next 14 years, or of course, lose a pet and process the grief of that, right? Capricorns, my Capricorn risings, this conjunction is setting off the fun house for you, the fifth house of pregnancy. Yes, that's right, Capricorn risings. We could see sudden pregnancy announcements, children, healing your own inner child, making it big in the arts. Capricorn risings, you probably just went through a 14-year period where you're like, well, I read about Capricorn and they're just the business sign. But you guys can be extremely creative. One of the most famous creative Capricorns that I've always put his chart under a magnifying glass because it doesn't make sense until it does, is Jim Carrey. Do you guys know who Jim Carrey is? The famous actor. I was born in 88, so all of my 80s and 90s babies are like, duh. But we've got a really wide age group of people who listen to Lightworkers Lounge, so I don't know if some people don't know him, but he is the funniest, in my opinion, actor in the world. So incredibly gifted and talented. Am I getting it wrong? He's a Capricorn, but I think he has a Scorpio moon. And I remember thinking, like, there's no freaking way that a Capricorn is that funny. Yep, he is Capricorn, Gemini moon, there you go, Scorpio rising. Oh my God. This could be a whole other podcast episode, so I'm going to put this away in focus. But that is Capricorn energy. If they work hard, harder than anybody at their craft. I can only imagine what Jim Carrey's come up story is and how many times he practiced characters in front of the mirror, right? Of course he's the best of the best in movies. He's a Capricorn. He'll have it no other way. But Capricorn rising, this conjunction is happening in that fifth house. It is a 14-year cycle of healing your relationships to your own inner child and yourself, but also your children. What's going on? Are we co-parenting? Have we dreamt of children? Do we not want children? Why? We're going through a cycle that involves fertility, creativity, whether it's creating children or creating a new art project for the next 14 years. I love this for you guys. Aquarius. My other favorite sign, Aquarius risings. This great conjunction is hitting off your fourth house of home, family, real estate, and breaking generational patterns. There could be a big announcement at home. There could be a big announcement in your family. Perhaps there's a pregnancy announcement or the loss of someone in your family. You're really learning a lot of lessons about resources, connection to your family. What generational patterns are you repeating in regards to money, in regards to sharing or not sharing resources? Aquarius rising, it is your time. You guys, Pluto is in your sign, transiting your first house. If this conjunction in your fourth and Pluto's current station in your first house of self, if that doesn't scream, you better shock your family with your individuality. I don't know what does. So, find your footing in your family. Try not to tell yourself, as you were used to, that I'm the black sheep. Nobody likes me. Everybody's married. I'm not. Everybody had kids. I did not. Therefore, I don't fit in. Everybody at the family parties looks at me weird. Whatever the story you may be telling yourself has got to go. Because you just might find that you're the fun person that everyone hopes shows up. You just might find that everyone wants to have a private conversation with you because the way you think is so unique and open. They feel safe with you, which is the greatest gift you could give anybody. So Aquarius, this conjunction in your fourth house is time to break generational patterns, buy a new house, sell a house. If you've been thinking of investing in land or property, beautiful. Mwah, chef's kiss. This is the fourth house, so it is an angular house, a very powerful house. So you guys, as well as your Leo, Scorpio, and Taurus counterparts, will feel this the most. Pisces, you're not going last this time. Pisces risings. You guys are the rarest rising sign of all, and I love it. You guys are having this conjunction in your third house of conversation, the way you process information, short-term travel, and your siblings. So under this conjunction, you are beginning a brand new cycle of learning to communicate exactly how you feel, changing the way you communicate. Right? Communication is the be-all, end-all if a relationship thrives or if it breaks down. Pisces risings, if you have been afraid to speak your truth, if you have been afraid to preach and teach what you really believe in, that is all going to change. A lot of you Pisces risings could rise up in the realm of writing books, coaching, teaching over the next 14 years. It is your time to shine, especially if it's a spiritual self-help topic like a astrology, Akashic records, things like that. This is your time. And Pisces, the third house is also your siblings. So if there's a relationship to a sibling, to a neighbor that you really need to work on, heal, or one you want to revive, this is beautiful forecasting for that. And Aries, shame on us. I feel like y'all are slapping the speakers my voice is coming out with, like, how dare you make me go last? Or I've already lost you guys by now. You got bored and tuned out going through all the other signs, so you're not even listening. But Aries, this conjunction is hitting your second house of money, finances, values, and self-worth. You could see a massive increase in finances during this conjunction, and I freaking love that for you. Money is power, right? You could also see a sudden change in your income streams. Perhaps you switch jobs. You heard me in the beginning of the podcast say, don't stay stuck at a job just for the financial stability. And you went, you know what? I'm out. And you tuned out and you left because that's just how y'all roll. But this is hitting your second house of values and self-worth. So my Aries risings, you guys could find yourself shocked at what you no longer value in people and what you now value in people. Perhaps you've never even had boundaries with people. Perhaps you've never written down a list of what you value and what you absolutely do not, so you will not mingle with people who have those values, and you're being choosy with that. And then ask yourself here, have I tied my self-worth into stability with staying with someone? Am I staying in this partnership because I don't feel like I'm worthy enough to get what I want and need, someone who actually values me? Am I staying in this job because the pay is great and I feel like they don't value me? Or should I leave for a maybe not so high paying job, but somewhere where I'm really valued and I love going every day? These are the questions that are going to come up over the next 14 years, but especially under this conjunction on April 20th. And Aries, I hope you guys had a very lovely birthday. That's all I've got for you guys. Thank you for tuning into this episode. I am holding my mocktail in the air on this wonderful Wednesday afternoon at 5 p.m. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. I want to give a toast to us for listening to these podcasts and always seeking self-growth. I want to give a toast to us and all of the old past versions of ourselves. And I want to raise our glass. If you've got one, raise it with me. To who we are about to become. May it be people with compassion, with empathy. May it be people who do no harm but take no shit. May we become future versions of ourselves that sit with pain and feel the grief and just trauma that comes with life. But ultimately, may we and our future versions of ourselves transmute poison into medicine and heal everyone that comes in contact with us. May the future versions of ourselves leave people better than we found them, but especially and most importantly, ourselves. Cheers to that. I'll see you on the next podcast episode. Bye.